إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance, we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no deity, no God, no object of worship, worthy of worship, other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, and created from that soul its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and seek the truth, or say that which is correct, in order that Allah may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, for certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion, and every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in His Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. O humanity, worship your Lord who has created you and created those before you in order that you may have taqwa. The purpose in life for every human being is to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in this next ayah, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. Worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is our purpose of creation. And to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is to obey Him and to obey His messengers, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدَخِلْهُ نَارٌ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. These are the boundaries set by Allah. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, we will enter him into Jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever. That is the greatest achievement. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses the bounds, then we will enter him into the hellfire, abiding therein forever. What a humiliating punishment. We have to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for the purpose of fariqun fil jannah wa fariqun fis sa'ir. A group of people will be in Jannah, And there are the people who fulfill their purpose in life of worshiping Allah by obeying Him and obeying His Messenger. And then fariqun fin nar, a group of people will be in the hellfire. They are the people who do not live up to the purpose that they were created of worshiping Allah by obeying Allah and His Messenger, and their abode will be the hellfire. This is our place in life. To worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by obeying Him and believing in Him and His Messengers, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُولُوا آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَمَا أُوتِيَ النَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, teaching us how to worship Him, commands us in the Quran, I command you to say, I believe in Allah and that which was revealed to us, and that which was revealed to Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq and Ya'qub and the tribes, and that which was given to Musa and Isa and all of the prophets from their Lord. We don't make any distinction between the prophets, meaning we don't believe in some of them and disbelieve in others of them, and we are Muslims. And we are those who have submitted our will willingly to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has had for mankind to live. As He sent all of His messengers to humanity to say, Ya qawmi abudullah ma lakum min ilahum ghayru. O my people, worship Allah. There is no deity that has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. And all of the messengers of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and His prophets, all of them came to their people to tell their people to fulfill their purpose in life of worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that religion that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent all of His prophets with, He completed it with the sending of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He sent them with the religion al-Islam. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Inna ad-deena 'inda Allah al-Islam. Certainly the religion with Allah is al-Islam. This is the religion of Allah. This is the final and complete religion, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, Al-yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum, watmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. This day I have perfected for you your religion, completed my favor to you, and have chosen for you Islam as a religion. This is the religion that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants humanity to worship Him on, and to die on nothing other than Islam. And whoever dies on other than Islam is just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقَبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted of him, and in the hereafter, he will be among the losers. This is what life is all about. This is what our Lord Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants from us. However, unfortunately, by the will of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, people just do not worship Allah. And for that, we're going to discuss the topic, and that is the worst disease of the heart. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent us with Islam to worship Him properly, and if we don't worship Him properly, or believe in Him properly, and believe in His messengers and obey His messengers, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, then that is the worst disease of anybody's heart. Not to obey Allah or His messenger, not to believe in Allah or His messenger, not to live your life according to Islam, is the worst disease anyone can have. This is in general, and in specific to the Muslims, that we follow Islam the way it's supposed to be followed, and that we don't deviate from that path. That clear, straight path. Just as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, udukhulu fis silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter into Islam wholeheartedly. Not half-stepping, but all the way. This is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commands us. And this is what He tells us to stay away from, that disease. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And don't follow the footsteps of shaytan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Indeed, he is a clear enemy to you. That is the disease, the worst disease that anyone can have in his heart, is not to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly, not to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to deviate from the religion of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in more than one verse in the Quran, reminds us to stay away from this disease, as he says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. And do not be like the mushrikeen, the disbelievers, those who have divided their religion up into sects or groups, each group happily rejoicing in its own program of falsehood, thinking that it's the truth. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is making it forbidden to us to divide our religion up into different groups and sects. Thus, being like the mushrikeen, this is a disease in the heart of some of the Muslims. Although Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it forbidden to us, some of us have fell into it. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in another verse, mentioning the same point, that people deviate from the religion of Islam the way it's supposed to be, he says, عَزَّ وَجَلْ اتَّخَذُوا أَحْبَارَهُمْ وَرُهْبَانَهُمْ أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَسِيحَ بَنَ مَرْيَمْ وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. And they have taken their priests and rabbis as lords besides Allah, and they have also taken Isa, the Masih, son of Mary, lords besides Allah. And they have only been commanded to worship Allah, one deity. There is no deity that has the right to be worshipped other than Him, and Allah is far removed or far above the partners that they ascribe to Him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala here is teaching us, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified in the tafsir of this ayah, that we should stay away from that disease of not worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala properly by taking our scholars and the leaders of the Muslims, as the Christians have taken their priests and rabbis as lords besides Allah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has only commanded us to worship Him by believing in Him and obeying Him, and believing in His Messenger and obeying His Messenger, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. This disease, which we'll just sum it up in general as shirk, is the worst disease that someone can have in their heart. It's a disease that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will forgive. As Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Certainly Allah will not forgive that you ascribe partners to Him. Allah will not forgive that you commit shirk. But He will forgive anything other than that to whoever He wills. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing us this disease and making it very clear to us, that disease that people have in their hearts. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to keep our hearts pure and clean and free from this disease. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an authentic hadith, mentions this disease with the cure. And inshaAllah ta'ala, our talk will be focused on the cure, not so much on the disease, just as to give an introduction to this disease of not worshipping Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala properly. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, خَفَّلَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَفَّا ثُمَّ قَالْ هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ خَفَّ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ خُطُوطًا وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ خُطُوطًا ثُمَّ قَالْ هَذِهِ سُبُلٌ مُتَفَرِّقًا على كل سبيل منها شيطان يدعو إليه وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions this disease and the cure all in one hadith, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a line, and he said, that is the path of Allah. And then he drew lines on the right of that line and on the left of that line. And then he said, these are the crooked paths. a shaytan, a devil is on top of each one of these paths, calling the people to follow. Those people who follow shaytan to his path, they have a disease in their heart that makes them follow this path. And that disease is shirkun billah in all of its manifestations. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brings the cure as he says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the ayah in Quran, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, and this is my path, the straight path. Follow it and don't follow any other path, for those paths will lead you away from my path, or will divide you from my path. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, is showing us that disease of shirkun billah, that disease of following those other paths, other than the path of Islam, the sirat al-mustaqim. And the cure for that disease is nothing other than following the religion of Islam, following the sirat al-mustaqim. This is the cure. This is the only way to cure that disease of shirk and following the shaytan and all of its paths. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this next hadith also mentions the disease and he mentions the cure. And inshaAllah ta'ala, after that cure, we're going to explain in some detail the cure that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has for the worst disease of the heart, shirkun billah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this authentic hadith says, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي مَا عَتَى عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ مَثَلًا بِمَثَلٍ حَذْوًا نَعْلِي بِالنَّعْلِي حَتَّى لَوْ أَنَّ فِيهِمْ مَنْ نَكَحَ أُمَّهُ عَلَانِيَةً كان في أمتي من يفعل ذلك إن بني إسرائيل افترقوا على 71 فرقة أو ملة وتفترق أمتي على 73 ملة كلها في النار إلا واحدة فقيل يا رسول الله ما الواحدة قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this detailed hadith shows how severe that cure is, that disease is. And that disease isn't just with the mushrikeen, the disbelieving people from Jump Street, but that disease has crept into the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that disease is prevalent among us, the Muslims, the believers in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will happen to my ummah exactly what has happened to Bani Israel. Exactly what happened to Bani Israel. So much so, and being identical to what happened to them, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you were to find anyone from Bani Israel having sex with his mother openly, then you will find people from among my ummah doing the same thing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear that this ummah will fall into that which the ummah before us fell into. So much so that if we found any among them having sex with their mother, you will find people among the Muslims who will do the same thing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that Bani Israel has been divided into 71 sects. And that my ummah will divide into 73 sects. And in another narration, he mentions the Nasara, or the Christians, they will be divided into 72 sects. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the 73 sects among the Muslims, all of them are in the hellfire except one. They said, Ya Rasulallah, and which one is that? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the cure to that disease that will befall the Muslims. That worst disease that can be in the heart, and we constantly ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make our hearts pure and clean from that disease. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that one that's referring to that one that's not in the hellfire, those who practice or adhere to what I adhere to today and my companions. This is the cure for that disease, is to follow that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions follow. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent his messenger to humanity. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, Allah is talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, you are the messenger of Allah. Say, O humanity, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent his messenger salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi with the religion of truth, al-Islam, to make clear to the people what are the diseases of the heart and what are their cures. The disease is that we will fall into the shirk that the ummahs before us fell into. And the cure is following that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam follows and his companions. And in that, we're going to take a thesis that I translated, written by Abu Mansur al-Asfahani, rahimahullah, who died 418 Hijra. Abu Mansur, rahimahullah, he found his people in a situation that I find my people in today. That they are afflicted with this disease of the heart, and that they're in desperate need of its cure. So let's listen to the thesis of Abu Mansur al-Asfahani, rahimahullah, as the cure to the disease, to the worst disease of the heart. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Abu Mansur Ma'mar ibn Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Ziyad al-Asfahani, rahimahullah, may Allah show mercy on him, said, and this is all a translation, and it's taken from a book that one of my teachers in Medina did a check on, or took it out of manuscript form and made it possible to be published, and it's called Al-Hajjah fi Bayan al-Mahajjah fi Sharh Aqidati Ahl Sunnah. And this is the book, it's two volumes. The book is covered with the beliefs of the Muslims, the beliefs that the predecessors of Islam held, referring to the deen of Islam. While reading this two volume book, I came across this thesis, or this advice from Abu Mansur, rahimahullah, and I'd like to share it with everyone today, inshallah ta'ala, so that we can know what disease we have been afflicted with, or that our brothers and sisters in Islam have been afflicted with, and then we can know the cure. As stated by Abu Mansur, rahimahullah, he says, when I saw the absence of sunnah, and the profuseness of innovations, bid'ah, and the following of heretic tendencies, I love to advise my companions and the rest of the Muslims with advice from the Sunnah and religious exhortation from wisdom, and to gather together that which Ahlul Hadith wal Athar, and Ahlul Hadith wal Athar are the adherents to the Hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the narrations of our righteous predecessors that came before us. And to gather together what Ahlul Hadith wal Athar and the rest of the adherents of knowledge and piety from among the foremost Salaf and the rest of those that followed them used to adhere to. I am saying, and this is the quote of Abu Mansur rahimahullah, I am saying, and the success is with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Indeed, the Sunnah is being pleased with the divine decree of Allah, and submission to the commandment of Allah, and the patience with the judgment and the decision of Allah, and the acceptance and the adherence to what Allah has commanded, and the acceptance and the avoidance and abstention of what Allah Azza wa Jal has prohibited. Abu Mansur rahimahullah begins this piece of advice off with a basic message, that after he has seen what we are seeing today amidst the Muslims, from the absence of sunnah and the spread of bid'ah and deviance or disease, that it's time for the cure, and that cure is nothing other than following what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has revealed to humanity. It's just that simple. And Abu Mansur rahimahullah is going to go into a little detail to show exactly what he means when he says that the cure, or when he's showing that the cure of this disease of deviance and disbelief in the hearts of the disbelievers and in the hearts of the believers. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. And most of them don't believe in Allah except that they ascribe partners to Him. He's going to explain in detail, inshaAllah ta'ala, what he means from this cure of being pleased with the divine decree of Allah and obeying Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as he goes on to say, and certainly Iman is a thing, an action, an intention, and being in accordance with the Sunnah. It increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. This thesis, written by Abu Mansur rahimahullah, as we're going to see, is not filled with ayat from the Quran or hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that he's making it brief and in general, and that the statements that he says can be backed up by ayat in Quran and hadith from the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses me and gives me the time and the life, then inshaAllah ta'ala I'm going to make this thesis with a basic explanation available to the Muslims for distribution, so that they can see that Abu Mansur rahimahullah, when he advised the Muslims with what to do when they see the absence of the Sunnah and the bid'ah and is floating around amongst the Muslims, that what he is saying is based on the Quran and the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I'm not going to go into detail because of the time to bring the ayat and the hadith of every statement that he says, but I'm going to just read over his thesis inshallah ta'ala briefly and just make mention or point out some of the things that we need to pay attention to, because they're some of the biggest diseases in our hearts. Among them is this Iman. Iman or faith isn't, as some or most of the Muslims unfortunately today believe, that Iman is in the heart. But Iman is in the heart. Iman is a statement on our tongue, and Iman is actions by our bodily limbs. This is what all of the believers say. This is what's based on authentic ayat and hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's not be confused when someone comes to us and tells us, Ya akhi, grow your beard. You tell them, grow my beard. My faith is in my heart. I got Iman in my heart. Iman isn't on my beard. Iman is in my heart. Wallahi, wa billahi, wa tallahi, your deen is in your beard. And your deen is in the trimming of your mustache. And your deen is in everything that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has commanded you with, or that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded you with. Iman isn't something just in your heart. Iman shows with your body parts, and it's a statement on the tongue, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes very clear in the authentic hadith, when he says, Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba. A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha al-imatatu al-adha 'an al-tariq. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Iman has 70 some branches. Look at the branches of Iman that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to, and see that it's not in your heart alone. The highest branch of Iman is the statement, La ilaha illallah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making it very clear that Iman is a statement on your tongue, and is the best statement, or the highest branch of Iman is that statement, La ilaha illallah. وَمَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ كَمَا قَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. As the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, and whoever says لا إله إلا الله enters Jannah. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم went on to say, and the lowest branch of Iman, of faith, is removing something harmful from the path, from the roadway. So we see that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith is showing us that removing something harmful to Islam, the religion of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, except Iman. O you people who have believed with your hearts, and have not believed with your body parts, know that iman. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And don't say what you have no knowledge of. Certainly the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, prohibiting us from saying anything, and especially when this deen is concerned and we have no knowledge. Iman is, as Abu Mansur rahimahullah says, a saying, an action, an intention, and being in accordance with the sunnah. It increases and decreases the more you say of the statements of iman on your tongue, and the more deeds you do, your iman increases. The more obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the more belief, and that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has us to believe from the things of the unseen, or the things that our mind cannot comprehend, the more that we believe, and the more that we say of dua and zikr and kind words, and the more that we do of worship to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and good deeds, it increases us in iman. And the less that we do, it decreases us in iman. And this is why we see that the people before us, rahimahumullah, that they were better than us because they have more deeds than us. And anyone who wants his iman to increase, stop walking around thinking that the iman is in your heart and you waiting for some sign to come to you so that you can say that when I'm ready, I'm going to get right in my deen. But you need to start off with the little things that you can believe in, and the little things that you can say, and the little things that you can do to keep your iman on the rise. And the more your iman is on the rise, the more easier you'll find it to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more sin you do, the more difficult you find it to obey Allah and to believe in Allah. And if you want to see the people with the weakest iman, just look at the sinners and see how difficult it is for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then look at yourself, inshallah ta'ala, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who are obedient to Him. And when you look at yourself and the obedience that you have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you see how easy it is to obey Allah. Abu Mansur rahimahullah goes on to say, and certainly qadr, the good of it and the bad of it, the sweet of it and the sour of it, the loved of it and the hated of it, is all from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And certainly what has happened to me was not going to pass me by, and what passed me by wasn't going to happen to me, because indeed the pen or the ink of the pen has dried with what is going to happen until the day of resurrection. And that this is a fundamental belief in Islam, belief in Qadr, or the divine decree of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that belief in this Qadr shouldn't make us lazy or sinners, but that this belief in the Qadr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala should encourage us, should make us more eager to obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because we know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has already decreed that a group of people are in Jannah and a group of people are in the hellfire. Who are those people going to the Jannah? They're the people who worship Allah, who obey Allah, and believe in Allah and His messengers. And the people going to the hellfire, the people who disbelieve in Allah and disobey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His messengers, these are the people who are going to the hellfire. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed us the two paths, the path to Jannah and the path to the hellfire, and already told us that it has already been predetermined who's going where. So the best thing that we could do knowing that is to work. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companions when they asked him concerning the issue of Qadr, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. That after you know the issue of Qadr and that everything has been predetermined, then you should work, because everyone has been facilitated to do that which is easy for him. So if you do that which will get you to the hellfire, inshaAllah ta'ala, it will have been predetermined that you will be from among the people in the hellfire. And if you do that which will get you to Jannah, inshaAllah tabarak wa ta'ala, you will be among the people who will enter Jannah.
this qadr is very important. And every time we read the Quran or the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it should be an encouragement to us that it's already been predetermined. And if we look in the mirror and see nothing but a sinner, someone disobedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then we might be looking at someone that Allah has destined to the hellfire. So when we know this issue of qadr has been set, don't let it make you lazy or weak, but let it be an encouragement to you so that you can see the obedience coming from yourself to say that inshaAllah ta'ala Allah has destined for me al-jannah, and we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the jannah. He goes on to say, rahimahullah, and certainly the Qur'an is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal and His revelation. He spoke by the Qur'an, or He spoke by means of His revelation, the Qur'an. And it is not created. He is the only one who spoke by it. Or as the phrase is, from Him the Qur'an began, and from Him to Him it will return. Meaning that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the first one who spoke by the Qur'an, and that the Qur'an is a characteristic or an attribute of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala because it is His speech. He goes on to say, and whoever says that it is created, that the Qur'an is created, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever in Allah, and a jahmi. And a jahmi are the people who reject in general. They are the people who reject the attributes or the characteristics of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And whoever is undecided about the Qur'an and says, I don't know that it is created or it's not created, then he is a waqafi jahmi. A waqafi is an undecided doubter, not sure about anything. And the believers are the people who have believed in Allah and His Messenger and have never doubted. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is constantly praising the people who don't doubt and blaming the people who doubt. And whoever says my pronunciation of the Qur'an is created, then he is a lafzi jahmi. And a lafzi jahmi is just describing the people who say that when I recite the Qur'an, as if I was to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that what you just heard is Abu Muslima's recitation and not the Qur'an. My pronunciation, as Abu Mansur is going on to say, my pronunciation of the Qur'an, my saying and uttering of the Qur'an, my reading and my recitation of the Qur'an is the Qur'an. And the Qur'an, however it is recited, read, heard, or written, however it is expressed, it is not created. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is the characteristics of Allah, it is the characteristic of Allah and not created. Because we know among the characteristics of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is al-awwal, or the first. As Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, huwa al-awwal, and he is al-awwal. And al-awwal is the first. And as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an authentic hadith explained, huwa al-awwalu falaysa qablahu shay'. He explained that he is the first, the one who bears no one before him. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another authentic hadith, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَهُ غَيْرُ, that there was Allah and nothing was with Allah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, with all of His attributes and characteristics, is Allah. He's not created. The Qur'an is an attribute or a characteristic of Allah because it is the speech of Allah, therefore it is not created. And this issue may seem somewhat minor to us, but this is a major issue, and we have to be careful that we don't describe Allah by other than that which He has described Himself by. And that we have to be careful that we don't negate anything from Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed to Himself. And this issue of the Qur'an being created and not being created is the issue of Allah being created and Allah not being created. And this was a big fitna for the Muslims over 1,000 years ago when many of the scholars were killed. They were asked by the leaders of the Muslims, say that the Qur'an is created or we'll kill you. And they killed all of the scholars of the Muslims who said that the Qur'an was not created. And so Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, out of His generosity, blessed Imam, Ahlul Sunnah, Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Hanbal al-Shaybani rahimahullah to be among those who lived through that fitna. Still stating and standing strong on the fact that the Quran is not created. That the Quran, the speech of Allah, is not created, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't created, and Allah gave victory to the people who believe in Allah the way that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to believe in Allah and his companions. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to believe in him, just as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions believed in him, as he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنْ آمَنْتُمْ بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنُوا بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. And if they believe in that which you believe in, referring to the believers, to the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they would have been guided. If you believe in that which they believe in, then you would have been guided. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that the people who are on guidance, they're the people who believe in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his companions believe in. He goes on to say, rahimahullah, Abu Mansur, the best of humanity and the most admirable after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, then Umar al-Faruq, then Uthman, then Nuri, then Ali al-Ridha. May Allah be pleased with all of them. They are the best people of this ummah. And there is an authentic hadith on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he heard the companions saying that the best people after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman. And this hadith was collected by Safin, the Mawla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, and I think he narrated on Abdullah ibn Umar, and I'm doubting as to oppose to who narrated it, but the hadith is authentic and is collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, where they were mentioning that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say during the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the best of this ummah is Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hear that and have no objection. And we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only confirms or allows that which is pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that this is an important point. And it may seem simple to say that Allah, that Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali are the best among this ummah. And so we see the deviance that has spread among the Muslims, where people are making their imam the most knowledgeable man on the face of the earth. The most knowledgeable man that has ever lived in Islam. The best sheikh ever to walk the face of the earth. And people are worshipping these people, thinking that they are better than the companions of the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. So every time we remind ourselves of our beliefs help us to obey Allah, to worship Allah properly. That when we're running our beliefs through our minds and we're reflecting on that which we believe in, that Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een, that they are the best of this ummah, then we know that Shaykh such and such is a liar when he thinks that he has the best program. That group such and such is false when they think that they bought that which is better than the companions of the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi passed on to the generations after them. This belief that we have, that stems from our hearts, that we say on our tongues, that we practice with our body parts, this belief is constantly keeping us headed in the right direction. And when we allow our beliefs to be incorrect, based on deviance, then our statements and our deeds will all also go in that direction. So these beliefs aren't just something that we say on our tongues, but they incite us and encourage us and urge us to worship Allah as He ought to be worshipped. Abu Mansur rahimahullah goes on to say, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they, referring to Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum, and they are the rightly guided khalifas that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was speaking of in the hadith, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa al-rashideen al-mahdiyeen min ba'di.
I command you to hold on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas after me. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the ummah has agreed upon, were referring to these four companions, radiallahu anhum. He said, each one of them was given the bay'ah or allegiance on the day that he was given the bay'ah, and that no one has more right to be the khalifa than any one of them. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam certainly bore witness that 10 people are in Jannah, and they are Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Az-Zubair, Sa'id, Sa'id, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. May Allah be pleased with all of them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in authentic hadith said that these people are in Jannah. And we learn from this that we can't bear witness to anyone being in Jannah except to the people who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore witness to that he's in Jannah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a particular authentic hadith said that these 10 are in Jannah. And there are other authentic hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that other people will be in Jannah, like Bilal ibn Rabah, the muazzin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu, and Ukasha, and others among them, Hassan and Hussein and Fatima radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. All of those people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore witness to that they are in Jannah, then we bear witness to that which our Messenger and our Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bears witness to. And certainly Aisha, As-Siddiqa, bint As-Siddiq, Habiba, Habibullah, purified from every suspicion, and Allah is pleased with her, and pleased with all of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the purified mothers of the believers. And here, the Shaykh rahimahullah is making a point that there were some people, and they are still living to these times, that they have something against the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala himself, in Surah Al-Ahzab, made it very clear that Aisha is free from the lies that were attributed to her, from the indecencies that the people fabricated on her, that she is free from this, radiallahu ta'ala anha, and we believe in that which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has revealed to us in the Quran. And he goes on to say, and certainly Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was the scribe of Allah's revelation, and his Amin, and the riding companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the uncle of the believers, may Allah be pleased with him. And here, he's just mentioning the point, the fact that Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometimes, because of what may have happened in the past, Muslims tend to have that disease in their hearts and looking at some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a bad light, as if they don't know when they read the Quran that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, and that all of them Allah has promised al-husna, and al-husna is Jannah. And here Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is referring to the Muslims who fought the disbelievers for the sake of making la ilaha illallah superior in the land, that those people who fought before the conquest of Mecca are better than those who fought after the conquest of Mecca, but all of them are promised Jannah. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan was among the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't let your heart be diseased so as to say something against the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes on to say, in Allah azza wa jal is high above his throne without describing how, without any resemblance to his creation, and without any interpretation. Rising above is understandable, and the description how is unknown, and iman in it is wajib, and denying it is kufr. And Allah Azza wa Jal is clearly separate from his creation, and his creation is clearly separate from him. Here, the Shaykh rahimahullah is making the point that many Muslims unfortunately deviate in. And that is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is, as he has described himself by in his book, or as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him in the authentic sunnah. and he isn't who he says that he's not in his book or on the tongue of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa. And Ar-Rahman is high above his throne. This is how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala describes himself as, and this is how us, the believers in the Quran, describe Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as. However, some Muslims, and we have to understand that when we hear this statement, let's not take it as deviant at first. But we have to understand what the person is saying first before we clarify. And that is the statement that Allah is everywhere. That statement has two possible meanings. One of those meanings is correct, and the other one is incorrect. The incorrect meaning that is on the tongues of many of the Muslims is that Allah in person is everywhere. Wallah tabarak wa ta'ala is high above from being everywhere. But Allah is, as He says He is, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa. That Ar-Rahman is high above His throne. And that if you mean that Allah is everywhere with His knowledge, that His knowledge encompasses everything. And many people when they say Allah is everywhere, they're referring to the knowledge of Allah. And they're not referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. So brothers and sisters in Islam, let's be careful that we don't be among the deviating Muslims who beat their brothers and sisters upside their heads, chasing them from the religion of Islam because they say that Allah is everywhere. Let's know what they mean when they say Allah is everywhere. If they're saying it in the proper context, then it's so. And if they're saying it in the context that Allah in person is everywhere, then we explain that which we believe in, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is high above His throne. How He's above His throne, no one knows. But that He's above His throne, we know. Belief in this is compulsory, and disbelief in this is kufr. And the statement of how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is above His throne is bid'ah, as Imam Malik, Imam Darul Hijrah, rahimahullah, made it very clear when he was asked concerning the ayah, Ar-Rahman wa ala al-Arsh istawa, that Ar-Rahman is high above His throne. How is He high above His throne? This is a question of innovation, and every innovation in the deen is rejected. He goes on to say, so there is no incarnation, meaning that there is no embodiment of Allah in human beings, nor combining a mixture of Allah with mankind, nor a blending of Allah with mankind, nor a union of Allah with mankind. This is how, why he's making the point very clear, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is above His throne, and He's not inside His creation, but that He's separate from His creation, because some of the people who have that disease in their heart, they believe that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has come in their person, as some of the leaders of some of these Sufi tariqas believe, or as some of these deviant Muslims or deviant disbelievers who say that they're Muslims, who say that Allah came in the person in 1930. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is free and above that which they ascribe to Him, and that which anyone, knowledgeable or ignorant, describes to Allah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is free from what people describe to Him. But that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is who He says He is in His book, or who He says He is on the tongue of His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He's not who He says He's not in His Quran or on the tongue of His messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hisham ibn Abdi Munaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this point is very important, that we only describe Allah by that which He has described Himself as. And if we deviate from this, then we can fall into that which the people have fell into by saying Allah has come into the person of such and such. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is free from what the disbelievers or from what the deviants ascribe to Him. This is because Allah is alone, or Allah is the one, clearly separate from His creation, Al-Wahid Al-Ghani. And Al-Wahid is the one, and Al-Ghani is the independent or the rich. Independent from His creation, His knowledge is everywhere, and there is no place void of His knowledge. Not the weight of a dust speck is in the earth or in the sky escapes Him. He knows what is in the, He knows what the oceans conceal and what the hearts keep secret. وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, not a leaf falls, but He knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but it is written in a clear book. And certainly Allah Azza wa Jal is Sami', Basir, Alim, Khabir. He speaks, He is content and pleased. He gets angry, He laughs, He gets surprised. He will show Himself to His believing servants on the day of resurrection while He is laughing. He descends to the lowest heavens every night, however He wishes. Then He says, Tabarak wa ta'ala, is there anyone making a dua so that I can answer his dua? Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I can forgive him? Is there anyone repenting so that I can accept his repentance until Fajr time? These are some of the characteristics and some of the attributes of Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned in authentic hadith. Don't let your mind be so arrogant, or as you call it, so intelligent, as to say that Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala is free from what He says He is, as being content and pleased and getting angry. But Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala is what He says He is. And don't let your mind, your arrogance and your ignorance, what you call intelligence and humbleness, allow you to negate from Allah that which He has affirmed to Himself. When the Quran and the Sunnah, when revelation from Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala is mentioned, the intellect stops and has no say-so, except we hear and we obey. I submit willingly. This is the intelligent person, that when he hears the verses of Quran or the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you hear him saying, I hear and I obey. I have submitted totally and willingly. This is what the intelligent, humble people say. But the arrogant, ignorant people, they think that they are smart enough to negate that which Allah has affirmed to Himself. And they think that they're smart enough to negate or to affirm to Allah that which Allah has negated on Himself. Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala is who He has described Himself as in His book on the tongue of His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the believers will see their Lord Azza wa Jal on the day of resurrection with their own eyes, having no problem at all with seeing Him. They won't differ, nor will they be so crowded as so not to see Allah Tabarak wa ta'ala. And here the Shaykh is making a statement that I found difficult to translate, but to explain in brief, that sometimes, and I remember an example when we were at the Prophet's Masjid and a man was getting his head cut off before a crime that he committed. I was right there, but I didn't see it. Why? Because we were so crowded that I couldn't see him. But if we were so crowded and we were looking at the full moon, who would not be able to see the full moon though we're crowded? Here, the Shaykh is making an example, though all of mankind, past and present, that will be gathered together on Yawm al-Qiyamah, don't think that the numbers will be so much that the believers won't be able to see their Lord, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And we ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to make us among those believers that will be blessed, that will be rewarded with looking at Allah's face. Ameen. The Shaykh goes on to say, and the believers will see their Lord Azza wa Jal on the... He goes on to say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as I translate, indeed you will see your Lord Azza wa Jal just as you see the moon on a full moon, on the night of a full moon. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving the example that I used, that each of us, inshaAllah ta'ala, if we believe in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and die on Islam, and we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make us die on Islam, we will be blessed with looking at the face of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As Allah says in the Quran, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On a day, some faces will be brightened or brilliant, looking at their Lord. He goes on to say, rahimahullah, and the punishment of the grave is true, and being under pressure in the grave is true, and certainly Munkar and Nakir. They are two angels who will come to mankind in their grave, and they will both ask mankind about their Lord, about their deen, and about their Prophet, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and Allah will keep firm those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. And that word that stands firm in this world and the hereafter is the statement, La ilaha illallah. And Allah will cause to go astray those of the wrongdoers who He chooses to go astray, and Allah does whatever He wills. And certainly the hawl, or the water, the body of water of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is true. What is between its outermost limit is like that which is between Aden and Amman. And there are two cities